Greetings and welcome back to Vayikra, our special podcast project in which we explore different aspects of the weekly parasha through the parashot of Sefer Vayikra. This is the final podcast on Parashat Vayikra. We've been exploring the Korban Olah and the Korban, what's called Korban Mincha, the grain offering, over the course of the past four podcasts. Today I'd like to turn our attention to the third chapter, and indeed this entire podcast is going to be about two small words in Perek Gimel. Perek Gimel is devoted to the Shlamim, and it's broken up into three sections. So it opens up with saying that if he wants to bring a Zevach Shlamim, we're going to find out what that's about. As I mentioned in the other podcast, the motivation for the Shlamim is very different, in that a person wants to eat meat, wants to share a barbecue with his family, and so the proper way to do it in Machane Yisrael is to bring it as an offering, a peace offering in which everybody participates, B'mizbeach, the Kohanim, the owners, and many more options are given here, because unlike the Olah, which as I posited, is an expression of a person's own vitality, own life, and therefore, as a man bringing it, Adam ki akriv, typically, therefore it is a zachar. Here, it's in whatever animal you want to eat. So if it happens to be cattle, and if it happens to be male, or happens to be female, either way, the one thing it has to be tamim. Now, v'samachya d'ar rosh korbano reminds us of the olah. There has to be smicha here, in which the person is putting his own persona, as it were. Transference, as the Ramban would have it, onto the Korban. Ushchato petachu ha-moed. V'zarku b'nei Aaron ha-kohanim et adam al mizbeach saviv. Now here, as we had in the Olah, it is b'nei Aaron ha-kohanim and not a single Kohen involved. V'kubi zavach shlamim etshel Adonai. And now from this Shlamim, part is going to be brought close to God as a fire offering. What's that? Hachel v'chaset ha-kevet, kol hachel v'shar al-kevet, shtek lor v'chel v'shar al-hen, shor al-ksalim, v'zotel l'chavet ha-kol yisirana. Simply put, lots of different fats of the animal are put on the Mizbeach. At the end of this perek, we learn that chelev is not to be eaten, and indeed there's karet as a punishment for eating chelev, and the simple read of that is because chelev belongs to God. V'ktiru oto b'nei Aaron ha-mizbecha, and this is the, these are the two words that are odd here. What's even odder is that nearly all the classical Mefarshim and the Torah Kohanim don't comment on them. Rashi comments on it, Chizkuni comments on it, Rabbag comments on it. For the most part, they're ignored. And that is, V'ktiru oto b'nei Aaron ha-mizbecha, they shall burn it. B'nei Aaron shall burn it on the Mizbeach. Al ha-olah. What that means is very unclear. With the olah, on top of the olah, asher alaitzim, asher alaesh, which is on top of the fire, on the wood that's on top of the fire, yisherech nechoach la'adonai. Now, what's stranger about these two words, al ha'olah, is that they do not repeat in the next two parashot. So you have the parasha of Kesev, and then you have the parasha of Eiz, following a very similar pattern, with the smicha and the shechita and the offering of the fats. And then at the end, as I said in the last pasuk in the perek, the law about chelev and dam not being eaten. But the phrase olah does not appear again. So Rashi here quotes, al ha'olam is an indication of olat ha-tamid, and a reminder, as we have in several places, that no korban may be brought before olat ha-tamid. So this has to be brought al ha'olah, meaning in addition to. And that is a well-known inference that we have, the principle of tadir v'sheino, tadir, tadir kodem, that which has more frequency comes first, is inferred from the passage, al olat tatamid, which is a refrain in Parshat Pinchas, but all the musafin coming al olat tatamid, meaning in addition to, or literally on top of, but after the olat tatamid is brought. The problem with that here is that there is no olat tatamid mentioned. As a matter of fact, the olat tatamid hasn't really been introduced, depending how we understand the passage in Parshat Tetzaveh, but certainly is not part of the framework of this parasha. So ha'olah should be referring to one that we're already familiar with. Besides that, Besides that, excuse me, Al Ha'olah, if that's the case, should be repeated in all three parashot, because the same rule applies. You can't bring Shalmei Par, and you can't bring Shalmei Keves or Shalmei Eiz before Olat HaTamid. So why are those two, why do those two words only appear here and not elsewhere? Kasher, in his Torah Shlema, has a 10-page survey of numerous different suggestions that he makes as to what the significance of Al Ha'olah may be, all of them within a strict halachic framework as Midrash Halacha. And some of them quite interesting and stimulating. One of them, for instance, he suggests that Al Ha'olah here does not mean on top of or afterwards, but beforehand, and it's a reference to Olat Ha'erev, the Olah of the afternoon, teaching at the other halacha, which we have from other psukim, Allah Hashlem Kolakun Kulam, that the Olat Ha'erev has to be the last korban. But all of these comments have the same problem in that they don't explain why only the first of the shlamim has this addendum, Al Ha'olah, which does not show up for the other shlamim. Riggio has an interesting comment on this. He suggests, and very, I believe it's original, and it's innovative. He says Al Ha'olah is a shorthand comment. It takes us back not to Olat HaTamid, but rather to the beginning of the Parsha. Beginning of Seder Vayikra describes the Korban Ha'olah. And the Korban Ha'olah is described in detail as to how the pieces are laid out on the Mizbeach. And so he says what you have here is, V'iktiru oto b'nei Aaron ha-mizbecha al ha'olah, meaning following the same pattern as the Olah that you read about there. In other words, we're not going to repeat all of the laws here. The Torah is not going to repeat all of the details here, but rather refer to Al Ha'olah and do the same thing, which would then explain why it only shows up the first time and not the other two times. It also may be explained by something else, is that the Korban Olah, no matter how small it is, meaning as long as it's a mammal, is going to require multiple Kohanim because the entire animal goes up on the Mizbeach, and so therefore, consistently through that Perek, it is B'nei Aharon, not HaKohen, but HaKohanim who are involved. Here in the Shlamim, only the first of the Shlamim would have such a necessity, because remember, we're only putting the fats up there. So when you have an ox, we understand that you're going to, you have multiple kohanim, and indeed the pasuk says, "Viktiru oto b'nei Aharon" in pasuke. The parallel pasuk in pasuk Yud Aleph is "Viktiru haKohen," an individual kohen, and the parallel pasuk with the goat, pasuk Tet Zayin, is "Viktiram haKohen," again a single kohen. So the parallel with the korban olah is really closest with the shalmei par, the first shlamim, because that will have multiple kohanim involved. I'd like to suggest, and really take a page from Riggio and continue with it, suggest that there may be something else going on here entirely, but built on that same connection, specifically between shalmei par and the olah. And that is as follows. In the case of the olah, from the perspective of the kohanim, from a religious perspective, an experiential perspective, what they're doing is they're offering this animal to God. They're bringing it all onto the Mizbeach. And so that can feel like an extremely holy, an extremely pious, an extremely dvekutik sort of experience. You could suggest that the kohanim may feel very differently about a shlamim. That a shlamim, here we're putting the fats, the part that we're not allowed to eat, on the Mizbeach. In the meantime, this guy who brought his animal, he's going to have a big party with his family. Yeah, we're getting part, but the sense of religious experience, of immanence of God, of coming close to God, may feel lacking. And therefore, perhaps, the Torah suggests Al Ha'olah. Meaning, this should be seen as similar to an olah. The parts that you're putting on the Mizbeach of this Korban, which you as a group of Kohanim are doing, because this is a big animal, and therefore its fats require more than one person to participate in Ha'alata Evarim, Ha'alata ha-chalavim to the Mizbeach, you should understand it as being parallel to an olah. It is an offering that's going up to God. It's a nishay reach nichoach Hashem, a beautiful, wonderful smell, and pleasant smell to Hashem. That isn't needed in the case of the other two shlamim, because the other two shlamim, as the text points out, the fats are brought up by one person. That one kohen hopefully will be experiencing that sense of proximity and that sense of avodah. The danger comes when it's a group of kohanim who may indeed be saying, what are we bringing this other fellow's thing for him? And in the meantime, he's going to be eating, and therefore the Torah stresses al ha'olah. I'm not sure if that's really the correct answer to understanding what al ha'olah is, but we have raised, suggested several of the answers that have been proposed lately, and spent our time exploring two very unique words, at least in their formulation here in Perek Gimel. Everybody should have a wonderful Shabbat. We'll pick it up next week with our study of Parshat Tzav.